Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
All right. Big NFL playoff games this weekend. Good round, the divisional round. Used to be my favorite round, but I don't know. Last week's triple header followed by triple header may be my new favorite NFL weekend. Steven Spector left us here at 980 several years ago for a much better gig. He runs Sports Radio 610 in Kansas City, home of the world champion Kansas City Chiefs. For at least two or three of you listening right now, Steven will forever be known for being on the air with me the day the earthquake hit in the late August 2011. The two of us, I think we were pretty calm that day, relatively speaking, until our fearless CEO opened up the studio door and started yelling, "Get out! Get the hell out now!" And then we got a little bit panicked. But we survived that day. How are you?
Good, how are you? Yeah, my illustrious ESPN 980 career can probably be summed up in three words, and that happened on that day. We got to go. Those are probably the only three words that people will ever remember me by on that very, very weird day in Washington, D.C.
I'm great. We've had I couldn't find the sound, believe it or not. I know it's somewhere. I was looking for it last night when you and I were on the air, but I'll just never forget when our fearless CEO, and bless his heart, because, you know, he knew like nothing about sports talk radio, but did his best. But he opened up that studio door and started screaming at us to get the hell out as if the building was going to fall apart. And then, by the way, never held the door for us on the stairwell. He was down those stairs before we even got out of the studio. But you and I both, when those mics in that studio, I'll never forget it, they started shaking and swaying. And I was like, "Oh, my God, is this an earthquake, Steven, or what?" And you said, "I think it is." We nailed it. And I had never been in an earthquake. I'd been in a few aftershocks out in Northern California many years earlier, but I had never, you know, felt an earthquake. And, you know, people laugh at us because, you know, especially Californians, "Well, what was it?" Well, it was a 5.8 magnitude. You know, it was, you know, and it, we did that incredible damage to places like the National Cathedral. But that was a wild day. Truly one of the memorable days in the 17 or 18 years I've been doing this.
Oh, easily. And, you know, I know you're a big weather guy, but maybe, you know, you called that earthquake pretty quickly. You should have been like a geologist or seismologist. The other weird thing I remember about that day, and I'll keep it quick, is I just like walked down to 7-Eleven, got a Coke Slurpee, and like never thought that we were in the middle of like an earthquake. It was just one of those just really, yeah, really weird days, and a day that I'll never forget in radio.
Well, when we got outside of the building, it was a beautiful day, and we just, you know, we had to hang out there until they said that the building was safe, which it was, of course. All right, Steven runs 610 Sports Talk in Kansas City, and by the way, even when he was here, was a huge Chiefs fan. Are they going to win it all again or not?
I have money on them to win it all again, so I hope so. But, you know, I don't think the AFC is going to be a question. I think the biggest remaining team and hurdle to them is the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. So I think they're going to win the AFC. Whether or not they win the Super Bowl, I think that's kind of to be determined. But I think they're clearly the best team left in the playoffs. And I think, you know, it obviously starts with the quarterback, but the weapons that they have, the 3 weeks of rest, what they've been able to take off their legs and their bodies. I think they're the best team remaining. I think Green Bay is the biggest hurdle and the biggest matchup problem that they could potentially face of the other seven teams remaining in this divisional round. But again, I have money on them to win it all. I think they will end up winning it all. But the first step has got to be getting to Tampa Bay in a couple weeks.
That would be a rematch of Super Bowl I, Packers, yep. Chiefs, if it happened. What's been going on with them, though? I mean, their last seven wins before they rested everybody in the season finale, all seven of those were by 6 points or less. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong. They didn't cover very much, you know, over the stretch of that of the season this year. Is that a sign, or was that a sign of them being vulnerable or just bored?
That has been the, you know, one of the biggest conversations out here. And I tend to lean on the side that they're just coasting, right? You know, they started 2-0. They went to that big game in Baltimore on Monday night, you know, beat the Ravens pretty handily. And ever since then, this team has known that they were going to be in the playoffs and most likely win the division in a very mediocre division, despite kind of the Raiders getting, you know, having a good first 10 weeks of the season. The motto all year has been run it back. That's the team's motto. That's a real slogan. That's something that the leadership council on this team has used. And it's hard to run it back with kind of, I'm not going to call them meaningless games, but games that they know that they can win and games that ultimately don't matter to what they want to try and accomplish. You know, they win it all last year. They, they have a good 4 months of football. They go 14-2, obviously. But you can't win the Super Bowl in September to December. And especially when you're locked down and during a pandemic and having to do all these right things to keep yourself healthy, I think this team has just been looking forward to their first game in January. So I tend to side on the fact that they're coasting. That doesn't mean there are a couple holes in this team that are there, but I think this team has been built for January for a long time. I think Patrick Mahomes, frankly, is a little bit pissed off, which is something you never want to see as an opponent. And I think this team will be ready to go against the Browns off of 3 weeks of rest. I think Andy Reid has held back the playbook for the last couple of weeks. So we should see a very different looking team this Sunday against the Cleveland Browns.
We're talking to Steven Spector from 610 Sports Talk Radio in Kansas City. What are the holes? What is the Achilles heel, if there is one?
The offensive line right now, and that leads to the running game. But, you know, a lot of fans don't want to see the Chiefs run the ball a lot. Obviously, when you can put the ball in number 15's hands for 35 to 40 times a game, you're going to be successful. But this offensive line is not nearly as good as it was last year. They're going to be without their all-pro right tackle Mitchell Schwartz for what looks like the remainder of the season. Their right guard opted out before the season started. Eric Fisher on the left side has been, you know, banged up here and there, but has been a warrior through the 15 of the 16 games that he's played. And then the interior part of that line just hasn't been great. So Mahomes hasn't been nearly as comfortable back there as he was compared to last year. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, Frank Clark, he was, you know, named to the Pro Bowl, certainly did not have a Pro Bowl season. Right. And Chris Jones, who is probably the second best interior defensive lineman behind Aaron Donald in the league, has just had an up and down year. He hasn't had the double digit sack season that we've become accustomed to. So you talk about both sides of the line. I think that Frank Clark and Chris Jones will be amped up and ready to go. I'm less concerned about the defensive line, but if you have a pass rush similar to what the New Orleans Saints were able to do a couple weeks ago down in the Dome against Kansas City, you can make and hit Mahomes to make him uncomfortable. But again, Kansas City still won that game by 5 points on the road. So the biggest concern right now is the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess when I'm thinking about, you know, these games, you know me, I mean, I'm thinking about whether or not I can take a 10-point dog and have a chance at Arrowhead and how that chance would play out. And to me, it's Cleveland possessing the ball against a defense that, you know, hasn't been great, hasn't been consistent, and scoring, which Cleveland's been able to do. I think you're right. Andy Reid's been holding stuff back. They coasted a little bit. You know, last year they got off to that 24-0 deficit or whatever it was against Houston, and then roared back. They scored 40-something points in like a quarter and a half. So they're going to score, but can Cleveland score?
I think they will be able to, but I would fight against your theory of trying to possess the football. Chiefs games start at 24 points. If you're not getting to 24 points, you're not going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I think in the three seasons in which Mahomes has been quarterback, they've scored under 24 two times.
Right.
And one of those is in week 16 against the Falcons. But if you're going to play a low possession number of football, if the Cleveland Browns are going to run the football like that, you know, if they're only going to score on three possessions out of the seven that they have and they only score 21,
I think it's more like four out of eight. You know, they can score.
I don't know if they can score four out of eight, though. Yeah, I don't know if they can score four out of eight. I mean, they scored, 42 against Pittsburgh, but they were plus five in the turnover category. You're not getting five turnovers from the Chiefs. You're certainly not getting three interceptions from Mahomes. I don't think it's realistic for Cleveland to score four out of eight. I think it's maybe realistic for three out of eight, and that's just not going to do it. So I agree with you. They're going to have to run the football effectively, but this idea of playing low possession games where it's more important per possession, I think that still favors the Chiefs.
I probably put it the wrong way. I think that what I'm thinking is, you know, like Baltimore didn't turn it over and they scored 42 in that game. I'm just thinking about offensively, they've got to take every offensive possession and move the football and have it pay off. You know, have it pay off in points on a lot of those possessions. And I think Kansas City's been moved on this year. Am I wrong about that? There have been teams that have moved the ball against them.
Absolutely. Their points per game is better than kind of the yards per game given up. I'll tell you the key to beating the Chiefs. And Carolina was actually the best team to do this year. You've got to go for fourth. Him and I actually think it was a lot more Matt Rhule. You've got to go for it on fourth and one and fourth and two on the plus side of the field or near midfield. You've got to throw in a fake punt here or there. You've got to be ultra aggressive. And we saw this last weekend. Vrabel screwed up. Tomlin screwed up on the short fourth downs on plus side of the field, and they punted. And if you do that against Patrick Mahomes, it doesn't matter if it's a 90-yard field or 35-yard field. You're not getting the ball back. So you've got to go for it on fourth down when you have the opportunity. That's how you beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, that Carolina game was really interesting. And the reason I remember it is I had Carolina plus the number, and McCaffrey was healthy. It was one of the few games he played, and he was so damn effective. And I thought Matt Rhule, and I think he's going to do a really good job there. Joe Brady was there, too. If he's still there, they've got a chance to be good. But that was the thing is, you know, I'm sitting here watching the Chiefs, and to me, you're close to it. I'm wondering if they're bored, if they're coasting. But, you know, they're giving up 30 to the Panthers, and 30 something to the Raiders, and 30 something to the, you know, to the Saints, and the Dolphins even scored against them. And I'm just wondering if Cleveland can do the same. I think that's the issue. To me, it's going to take more than 24 from Cleveland. It's going to take 30 plus.
I think that's probably right. I mean, I don't know. I don't have the total in front of me, but again, I think all Chiefs games start at 24, and then you really better get to 28 or 31 at minimum if you're going to beat this team. I will say for the defense, you know, they went through a very bad stretch there in the middle of the season. You mentioned Carolina. You mentioned that Raiders game on Sunday night, and then the one game they lost here at Arrowhead, in which they played their starters. Obviously, they lost week 17 against the Chargers.
Yeah.
But since then, the defense has been better. The point totals have been a little bit lower. But it's also one of those, you know, you look at the Miami box score. Yeah, they scored in the mid-20s, but the Chiefs were also up 21-24, and then they just kind of laid back and let the game run out. So the point totals can be a little bit deceiving. The defense has played better, I would say, the last 4 to 6 weeks of the season.
What's the Arrowhead situation? How many fans will be there on Sunday?
Around 18,000. It makes a difference, but it's not, you know, it's not Arrowhead.
Right, but you know, in the games that they've had this year and watching, you know, those teams that have had more than, you know, 5,000, it feels more and sounds more like a real game than the ones that are played like the one here with nobody there.
Yeah, and you asked, and we've asked a couple of the players here and there, and you know, they can hear the crowd, which is, you know, it's obviously a boost, but Baker Mayfield's still walking into a much better situation than if it was 70,000 tailgaters and barbecue and the whole nine.
Right. All right. Weather's supposed to be nice there, right?
Yeah, we're actually getting a little dusting right now, but I think by game time on Sunday, it should be 40 and sunny. So should be a nice day for football.
I always love catching up with you. Usually it's this time of year. I know how excited you are and last year, how much fun that was. If they're back playing in the Super Bowl, we'll talk to you that week if you've got time.
Sounds good, Kevin. I appreciate you having me on.
Steven Spector, 610, The Sports, Kansas City. Chase Young will join us next right after I tell you about Window Nation, who is combining right now two of their best deals of the year. First of all, you can put no money down, make no payments, and pay no interest for two full years. Get two free windows for every two you buy. Call 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. Now, I've known the Window Nation people now for 12 years, 11 or 12 years. I've had windows put into my home. Lots of friends, family members, lots of you have used Window Nation. If you've been thinking about new windows, or if your windows are so old that you should be thinking about new windows, give them a call. Mention my name. They will take good care of you. They'll come out to your home if you don't mind and give you a quote. It's a free quote. All right, you can do with it what you please. You can even shop it if you want. They'll also do a virtual quote online if you're not comfortable with them coming into your home. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. No money down, no payments, no interest for two full years. Plus, get two windows for every two you buy. And that's with no limit. So if you need 10 windows, you'll pay for five of them. You'll save big on energy bills, and your home will look a lot better. 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And tell them Kevin Sheehan sent you. Chase Young, due up next. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com, and also on the radio.com app.
You can listen to the Team 980 on your smart speaker. Just say, play the Team 980.
I'll get to the smell test in about 20 minutes. I've got 2 to 3 plays. Been on a roll, three straight winning weekends, trying to get back to 500. Trying to have a winning season for the 11th time in 15 years of doing it. There are a couple of dogs I like. I don't know if Steven just talked me out of playing the Browns, but I kind of like Cleveland plus the 10. We'll see. I'll get there in about 20 minutes. We welcome in Chase Young, the likely NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year when it gets announced Super Bowl weekend, so a few weeks from now. Chase, first of all, thanks so much for making time for me this morning. You know, I know you'd rather be preparing for a playoff game rather than starting your off season, but, you know, the season that ended last week against Tampa was, for many of us in the fan base, a nice change. You know, to have meaningful games and a playoff game was different than what we've been used to. You know the recent history of the franchise.
Yeah,
what was it like for you to be a part of bringing some excitement back to the Washington fan base?
For me, you know, it was everything. You know, I've grew up around, you know, the area my whole life. So, you know, I know how it has been. And it just feels good for, you know, just to hear, you know, back home, you know, how people are reacting, you know, just super excited. I feel like this season we really gave people hope and, you know, something to look forward to.
You know, one of the things I thought about, you know, especially you guys that had played at Ohio State and the Shoe and, you know, at Bama and Tuscaloosa and all the big games that you played in, it had to be weird all year long playing in an empty stadium. But then when you had an actual playoff game, you know, the equivalent, not necessarily the equivalent to a Michigan game at the Shoe or in Ann Arbor, but how weird was it last week, a playoff game, the biggest game of the year, and nobody's there?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we got used to that. I think, you know, now, you know, when I play a game, I'm expecting no fans. So it's like, you know, I kind of made that in my own mind a norm. So it just wouldn't, it would just be something I wouldn't worry about. So it wasn't, played the whole year with no fans. So the last playoff game, that we had against the Bucks, it was no fans. So it wasn't too bad. I think all the players really used to it now.
Everyone who watched you this year would describe your rookie year as exceptional, meeting, if not exceeding, expectations. How would you describe it?
I would say it was a pretty good year for me. I can work on, I have a lot to work on, just in regards to, my game overall. I just know in my head there's a lot of stuff I can correct that can just take my game to the next level.
What are those things?
Just everything. I mean, in all phases of my game, I feel like pass, run, I've been saying play recognition since college is something that's real big for me. So at all phases of the game, man, I feel like I can get better in all phases. And I feel like that's how I feel like that's how people end up being the best, is that, they always looking to get better in every way.
When I said that your rookie year was exceptional, it was. I mean, you're going to be, and you don't have to say this, but you're going to be named the Defensive Rookie of the Year when we get to Super Bowl weekend. I think most people have that as an absolute lock. And there were expectations for you coming into the season as the number two pick. And you were humble in sort of the way you just described it by saying how much you had to work on. But give me what you thought you did really well, year.
I think what I did this year is I try to play with aggression. I try to be just a force. I leaned on my teammates. Obviously it wasn't an easy year for me. I've been through injuries, had to play through injuries and
right.
stuff like that. So Jonathan Allen, RK, Ryan Kerrigan, two guys I feel like I really leaned on. Just going through the whole season and, being injured, and I couldn't, move like I wanted to move and things like that. So I'm just glad I had my vets to lean on because it made the season a lot easier for me.
Give me your favorite moment or two from the season.
I would say, number one is, playing against the Bucks. I mean, going to the playoffs, I feel like that was the biggest moment, for us this year. Just because, the Washington we haven't been to the playoffs in a long time. So I feel like that's number one. Number two, for real, man, is I wouldn't say it's a moment, but just our chemistry as a team, I'd say just has got way, way better. And you can just tell that by, just watching, week after week, and I feel like we just got more consistent. I feel like that's a big moment in our season, how consistent we have got down the stretch during the season. And I feel like that just made us better as a team.
There are a couple of plays. I mean, obviously the touchdown against the 49ers sticks out. The hit on Joe Burrow in the Cincinnati game really, in many ways, changed the course of that game. I mean, he got, injured in the second half, which was unfortunate, obviously, and that was a big game to win. But you're sort of referring to something that leads to my next question, which is, you guys were 1-5 at one point, 2-7 at one point. You win the final five of your last seven games, make the playoffs, had a legit shot to win last week against Tampa. During those days back in September and October, when maybe the chemistry that you just referred to wasn't there, what or who kept it together? What were the reasons that it didn't fall apart?
I think, it comes from a... I think in those times we started to lean on each other, and we really started to hold each other accountable. You can just tell guys is getting more serious, you know, as weeks went on. And just the energy, you know, it just changed. And, you know, obviously everybody's happy that, you know, it changed. And, you know, it has a lot to do with Coach Rivera, Coach Del Rio, and just, you know, on the defensive side especially, and just how, you know, they approached every day. And, you know, as a defense, we took the same mentality and, you know, we just going. And that's the mentality that, you know, we took and we ran with it.
Was there a moment, Chase, at any point in the season, you know, maybe the Pittsburgh game, I don't know, maybe Thanksgiving Day, where you remember thinking, you know, we've kept it together, but now we've got a chance to be pretty good? Was there a moment like that? If there wasn't, that's fine. I'm just curious if you thought there was a moment that you remember.
Definitely. I feel like the Pittsburgh game when, you know, there was a, you know, top dog that was undefeated. And, you know, we beat them. And I feel like that was a, you know, that just, you know, our coaches told us before that game, don't be surprised. And, you know, and that's how we played. We played like, you know, that was supposed to happen. And, you know, our coaches believed in us. You know, obviously we believe in ourselves, and we just went out and did it. But I think that was after we beat the Steelers, you know, guys looked around and was like, oh, yeah, okay, we something to mess with.
Right. We're talking to Chase Young. So, you know, look, you played at Ohio State. You're used to some of the scrutiny that comes with being a part of a team that people care about. I think everybody understands that the defense, you know, was a big reason you guys went on a run over the last month and a half and made it into the playoffs. And nobody would disagree that you were a major part of that run. But last Saturday night was not a good night for the defense. And, Chase, to be fair, it wasn't your best game. Far from it. What happened?
Well, you know, every game can be your best game. I mean, you know, it just is what it is. You got to go. I always said we just got to go back to the drawing boards. And, you know, every time you take a loss, to me, it's not losing, it's learning. And that's the only thing I did that game was just learn more. And I feel like, you know, you have to take losses to you know, eventually be where you want to be, because you have to learn and it has to help you. And I feel like, you know, sometimes when you take losses, you know, it just sets you up in the future. So that's all I feel like it did, man. And, you know, just being in the playoffs made us real hungry, you know, just for next year. And everybody, you know, feels like we have something to build on, you know, just coming back into the facility, you know, when we can. I feel like everybody's going to be real hungry and, you know, we're excited to get to it.
What did you learn specifically? Did you watch did you guys come in and watch the tape of that game? And specifically, what did you learn from it?
I mean, you know, just it's simple technique things. I mean, they tried to do some things to scheme me up. And, you know, even mid-game, you know, my coaches would come to me and tell me, you know, they're doing this, so, you know, you have to do this. I would say for me, for real, is – I still have to, you know, things like double teams and chips. I say I still have to play off those better in the future. So I definitely just say doubles and chips. I just have to work, plan against those, you know, in the near future. Just you know, get ready for those in the upcoming games.
In the pass offense, they did let Donovan Smith go head-to-head with you a lot during that game, mm-hmm. a lot more than I thought they would. He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was definitely, you know, it was definitely a battle. And I feel like every game was a battle with an old tackle. You know, you're going to get yours, he's going to get his. I mean, you know, you're playing against another guy who's getting paid, too. You know, it was definitely a good battle.
What did you and Tom Brady talk about at the end of the game? Everybody saw that. What was said?
Oh, yeah. You know, the media tries to stir up a lot of things, you know, with the I want Tom thing. But, I mean, you know, as a edge rusher, you know, as a rookie for, you know, you look up to a guy and, you know, somebody who has, you know, had his stamp on the game for years and, you know, you could say change the game because, you know, people look at Tom as the greatest of all time. You know, the media tried to stir that up, but, you know, it was all but nothing but respect when we had talked. And, you know, I had asked him for his jersey. And, you know, he told me he was going to see his jersey. And, you know, it's nothing but respect.
Look, I'd never give you any advice about a bull rush or any kind of move to get to a quarterback. And I did not have personally, and we sit here and we go through every granular detail, Chase, of every game you guys play, which is a good thing. You want people to care in the market. And I didn't have a problem with what you said at the end of the Philadelphia game. You were excited. I was excited. We all were excited. But I knew the moment you said it, because it was heading into the postseason, not a regular season game, and it was Tom Brady, that it was going to be blown up in a big way. I'm just curious, you know, knowing that it was blown up in a big way, in part because everything in the postseason gets magnified, especially if you're talking about Tom Brady, do you regret it?
No.
Did you learn anything from it? Did it put more pressure on you in that game?
No, because at the end of the day, you have to play the game anyway. And, you know, I know what I meant by the comment. You know, my teammates know, my coaches know, you know, the media tried to stir it up, you know. So that's just, you know, something they had to grab and, you know, try to run with, the, you know, make the game exciting. You know, you got to make their money too. I understand. But, you know, I didn't, my teammates and my coaches knew what I meant.
I think a lot of people knew what you meant, and I think a lot of people understood it to be a moment in a very exciting opportunity at the end of the Philadelphia game to clinch a playoff berth, to clinch a division title, and the whole thing. But you just said that the media stirred it up. Did it bother you that the media stirred it up?
Nah, you know.
Okay.
You know,
because it's going to happen again. If you know, that's what the media does in the postseason.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. You know, that's another thing I always say. It is what it is. I'm not tripping. You know, my biggest thing is my team. I'm a team guy, and you know, I'm just gonna do the best I can this offseason, everything to prepare, you know, to help my team. So that's my biggest focus, my team, and, you know, the media and stuff like that. That's the last thing I worry about.
All right, let's talk about, I know you were excited about Taylor Heinicke. All of us were in watching him on Saturday night. He did a phenomenal job of keeping the team in it and giving the team a chance. What do you think of his chances of being the starting quarterback? And I know you don't have a say in this necessarily, but you all will be paying attention to it. What kind of direction do you think the team will go quarterback-wise?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, and, you know, it's definitely not my place to say it's all on Coach Rivera. But, you know, I do love Taylor. You know, when he got his opportunity, he definitely capitalized on it. So you obviously see he can work an offense, and, you know, he can definitely manage the game. So, you know, if Taylor's the guy that we you know, if Taylor's the guy, then, you know, I'm happy with it. You know, I love Taylor, and, you know, I know he's always going to work hard, and I feel like he brings real good ball to the table.
By the way, because he was your college teammate, and obviously he was a first-round pick here, and I had high hopes for him after last year. How's Dwayne doing, and what do you think his next step is?
Yeah, he's cool. You know, he's working. He's you know, he's doing, he's trying to do everything he has to do. Right now, I would say, but you know, in the future, all I tell him is stay prayed up, and you know, I tell him stay prayed up, and you know, just stay ready. I feel like that's the two things he can do.
We're talking to Chase Young. One more for you. Actually, I lied. Two more for you. First of all, what kind of pro head coach is Urban Meyer going to be?
Oh, great one. You know, you can look at his track record. his track record, just from coaching. And, you know, I just thought about the other day, the just all the players that he's coached and, you know, just the guys, you know, that's on the next level. And, you know, all of them are, you know, doing pretty good. And I feel like I just had thought about the other day. I was like, man, I don't know how he do it, but Coach Meyer, you know, he a good coach. But, you know, it's like everybody he's coached for real is doing good at the next level. So I know in the league it's not going to change.
I mean, he's never as a head coach had a losing season, not even close to it. It's actually an amazing career that he's had at the college level. All right, last one. Are you going to be watching the games this weekend? And if so, do you have a player or a couple of favorite players that you're going to be keeping an eye on this weekend?
You know, I definitely was supporting my guys from Clutch, Jarvis. So, you know, really just watching my guys and, you know, just supporting my guys. It's just people that I haven't, you know, got to watch. You know, all season I'm gonna watch those guys. So, really, just trying to support, you know, my family.
Thanks so much for the time, and you've given it to me before, and it's much appreciated. Congrats on a phenomenal season, and a very likely, almost locked defensive rookie of the year season. Take care. Have a good off season. Hopefully, we can catch up down the road, Chase.
Take care. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Chase Young, everybody. When we come back, I've got a smell test. It's either going to be two or three selections. I'm just waiting for a piece of information on a third game. That's next. We'll also talk about some of the betting nuggets, if you will, in these divisional round games to finish up. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, Team980.com, also on the Radio.com app.
The only way to stream the Team 980 on your phone or smart speaker is with the Radio.com app. Presented by Regency Furniture. This weekend, shop the 72-hour Red Tag Savings event at Regency Furniture with Red Tag Savings up to 72% off store-wide. Free delivery and no interest financing. Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
All right, what's trending is the Caps won their opener last night, 6-4. Oshie had a goal and two assists. Ovi had two assists. John Carlson with a goal and an assist. Same for Backstrom. Vrana had an unassisted early goal in the third off a bad Buffalo turnover. Dillon and Hathaway with goals as well. Another one tonight on the road in Buffalo again. That's the way a lot of the schedule will go this year. Back-to-back games with the same opponent in the same venue. NFL news, Diana Russini reporting that Arthur Smith will be offered the job in Atlanta. Former 49ers defensive coordinator inked a five-year deal. Robert Saleh to become the new head coach in New York. And Urban Meyer officially became the coach last night of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Four Alabama players declared for the draft yesterday, including quarterback Mac Jones, wide receiver Jalen Waddle, quarterback Patrick Surtain Jr., and defensive lineman Christian Barmore. Remember, Devontae Smith was a senior. All four, plus another one or two, projected as first-rounders by Todd McShay in his mock first round. NBA last night, with no James Harden and John Wall out with an injury, the Rockets still beat the Spurs 109-105. All right, let's get to the smell test.
Can you smell it?
It's time for the smell test.
Do you smell something?
We look where John Q. Public is putting their cash.
Trust me, you just gotta get past the smell.
And go the other way.
Can you feel it? Can you smell it?
Kevin's smell test on the Team 980.
All right, the smell test today brought to you by the D.C. Lottery's new sportsbook, Gambit D.C. Download today at GAMBETDC.com and access spreads, money lines, over-unders, and live in-game betting all at your fingertips. It's sports only better. All right, I'm on a roll here, bit of a roll here. 14-5-2 over the last 4 weeks to pull within a whisker of 500 for the season, with still this weekend, seven games left, right? Four this weekend, two next weekend, and then a Super Bowl, which creates, by the way, 14 betting opportunities if you also consider the totals. This is a difficult weekend to pick. There are a couple of interesting NFL tidbits. You know, typically the wild card outright winners that were underdogs don't do well the following week, and yet there's a team tomorrow that I like a lot and will be in the smell test. Since the NFL added the wild card round in 1978, teams that pulled off outright upsets in that round are 25-35-1 against the spread in the divisional round. Now, a lot of these things I don't necessarily pay attention to. You know, when you get the old the AFC North in the month of October versus the AFC West, you know, in games above 80 degrees. I don't get into a lot of that. But this one actually rings true, because if you're a wild card road underdog and you pull off an upset, there's a big, you know, we just made our season. And then you go in the following weekend and face the highest seed, who's been sitting out, and they're much better to begin with. And many times there's a letdown that following week. With that said, okay, the game that fits the smell test criteria more than any this weekend, the smell test philosophy being basically a contrarian handicapping philosophy that looks for the games where the public seems to be absolutely convinced that they're right and that Vegas is wrong, combined with several other factors, which is I like to see, you know, a major anti-public side also being backed by some sharp money. That's the Rams this week. The Rams in the first game of the weekend, which is tomorrow afternoon at Lambeau. Cold at Lambeau, not a big weather situation at Lambeau, though. I think sunny skies and cold. The Rams right now are a 6.5-point underdog. All right, I'm looking for a 7 that I can give myself, but that line's at 6.5 at Gambit, at my book, a lot of different places. It's 6.5 at right now. I'm going to give it out at plus 6.5. Now, I will urge you to buy that half point and play it to plus 7 like I did last week with the Colts. Now, you didn't need that half point, but I gave the Colts out plus 6.5. And just to give you an idea of why that number's at 6.5, it's at 6.5 because they're almost incenting more public action on Green Bay. It's like you can get the Packers and Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau in a playoff game, and all you got to do is win by a touchdown. And when you see that, you go the other way. I think the Rams actually can run the football against Green Bay. I think defensively, as long as Aaron Donald is healthy. Cooper Kupp may not play in this game. That's a big deal. But Aaron Donald was the best player that I watched last weekend, bar none. Hopefully he's at 100%. Leonard Floyd was outstanding. Defensively, they were outstanding. Cam Akers, I think, has a chance, and he's healthy. He got banged up last week, but he's going to play. I think they have a chance to run the football against Green Bay. The Rams, plus 6.5, is smell test pick number one. Now, I personally am going to play all the dogs this weekend. I did that last weekend. They went 4-2. But Cleveland does not fit the smell test criteria. In fact, that action split. Tampa Bay does not fit the smell test criteria. The action is split. Baltimore does fit the smell test criteria at plus 2.5. And there's some sharp money on Buffalo as well, on Baltimore as well. Did I say Buffalo? I meant Baltimore. I like the Ravens plus 2.5, all right, in the Saturday night game, which could be cold and maybe a little bit of snow, but they're not expecting really any significant snow. I'll take the Ravens plus 2.5 as an anti-public favorite at Buffalo, and the Rams plus 6.5 at Lambeau. So the two Saturday plays, almost gave you out Tampa, and the Browns. I'd lean in both of those directions, but they're not official plays. So there you go. Rams plus 6.5, Baltimore plus 2.5, your smell test picks for the weekend. All right, Galdi's ready to go. He's got a big Friday football show lined up. Stay tuned for that. Thanks to both Steven Spector and to Chase Young for joining the show. And Darris did a great job in for Anthony. Have a great weekend. Back on Monday to recap all these playoff games.
Download the Radio.com app and favorite the Team 980 to listen anytime, anywhere.